growing our faith in the real world. Many years ago, a young man was placed in a very dangerous place for Christians. Not unlike what happens in much of our world today. He was there to build a church. He and his mentor were threatened with violence and death, and his mentor was forced to escape. So how was this young man going to do this? How would he survive? Historical tradition says that he died in his 80s, so he lived a long time. But what was the key to helping and building up this fledgling church? He was not there to play church. It was a very dangerous work. The Lord Jesus said that he would build his church. How did Jesus instruct the Apostle Paul to then instruct young Timothy in building a church in a very dangerous city called Ephesus? The New Testament world was hostile to the church. We don't always understand that, but back when the church started, when Jesus entered the world physically, it was a very dangerous place. Not unlike much of what's going on in the world today. Back then, and also to us today, church is not a game. Church is not a sport. It's not frivolous. Church is not a hobby. It's not a pastime. Church is real. In much, if not most of the world, the church is not optional. It is for life and death and faith. It is a great place to be and to live and to participate and to draw others into it. But, however, in a letter, the Apostle Paul gives instructions to Timothy to help the church, to lead and grow the church in Ephesus, to disciple the believers there in a very dangerous place. Have I said dangerous enough? What was important for the Apostle Paul to tell Timothy? What really mattered to the Apostle Paul? Now let's pause here for a moment. Let's take a time out. September. School starts. Yay! Kids? Yeah, I got one thumbs up. School starts. We're going to learn. University, Bible college, technical college, all that it all starts in September. We're moving up. We're learning. We're growing. September, the NFL is ramping up its season. Did you know that? The NHL is getting ready for the start of the preseason, even if Connor McDavid hasn't signed yet. Hayden, would you have a talk with him, please? What's taking him so long? Commentators, analysts, and prognosticators, can you say that, prognosticators, are all throwing out their opinions. But when the first puck is dropped to start the regular season, when the first football is thrown, when the first kick of the Major League Soccer, when the World Cup starts of soccer, everyone knows it's for real. Across Canada, churches are ramping up for the season, for a new season. There, what's going to happen this year? What's happening to the church in Canada? There are challenges, however, and what more challenges would be coming down the pipe for us and against us? In places like India, China, Nigeria, Congo, Iran, even Mexico and Cuba, the Church of Jesus Christ is being brutally attacked. Buildings burned, Christians killed, Christians assaulted, Christians kidnapped and forced into marriages. Simply because they are Christians. Well, sure, that's over there. It's over there in a world far, far away. Something has been going on in Canada for the last few years already. It's coming. The Church of Jesus Christ is not holding the place of respect it once had. Through different fallings out, through sometimes irrelevance, and through sometimes some churches just playing church, they fell out of respect and impact in Canada. And as a result, in many places, the church is being pushed to the sidelines of society and even being ignored. Consider this, church. In just the last 2 weeks, the minister of secularism in the province of Quebec is promising, and I would say threatening, to introduce a bill to ban prayer in public places, on streets and parks, everywhere. Quote, the Premier of Quebec, this is what the minister is saying, the Premier of Quebec has given me the mandate to strengthen secularism, and I am determined to fulfill this mandate diligently. This fall, we will therefore introduce a bill to strengthen secularism in Quebec, in banning, in particular by banning street prayers. Seeing people praying in the streets, in public parks, is not something we want in Quebec. When we want to pray, we go to the church, we go to the mosque, but not in public places. And yes, we will look at the means where we can act legally or otherwise. End quote. Did you hear that? A week ago, Judy and I were in a great restaurant in Winnipeg celebrating the birthday of our daughter. And yes, we bowed in prayer and we prayed, and I thank God for the great food at Stella's great restaurant. And I thank God for our daughter. A week ago, we were with a good friend of ours. He and I have been friends this month for 40 years. We were golfing with him and his wife at Elm Creek Golf Course. Very nice golf course. And we had lunch together, and he prayed for the four of us at the blessing of the food. That may not be happening in Quebec. Wow, we say that's Quebec. Ah, Quebec. Let's not kid ourselves. There are people and organizations across Canada that would love to see the church gone. Really. When the New Testament was written, it was a tough time for the young church, and the opposition was strong and at times violent. Are we ready? I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but something's happening. We can't be asleep here. And to think it will never happen here? We are in a global world. What happens miles away can happen here. A disease begins in Wuhan, China, and becomes a world pandemic. So it is also a global attack on the church and Christians. Jesus predicted it. Church, we must wake up and be vigilant and active about our faith and grow deeper in our faith. So Timothy is left in Ephesus. There was such an uproar against the Apostle Paul, and a riot ensued, and the crowd chanted, "Great is Artemis of Ephesians." You can read it in Acts chapter 19. So Paul had to leave. Now Timothy and the young church was left. It was a dangerous time. What does the church do? Probably like the disciples, when Jesus was killed, they went into hiding. That's what I would do. Let things simmer down. Maybe they'll blow over. I'm sure the church met quietly, encouraged each other, and then they laid low. But then a letter comes from the Apostle Paul to Timothy personally. Whew, something. And Paul gives a lot of encouragement to Timothy and through him to the church. And let's look at this. Now, be at 30,000 feet. I'm just going to cover just a couple of main points. But this is how the Apostle Paul encourages young Timothy in this dark, dangerous place. And by extension, for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1. When I left for Macedonia, Paul is writing, I urge you to stay on there at Ephesus and stop those teaching contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussions or miss their spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations, and they don't help people live a faith in God, a life faith in God. The purpose, 1 verse 5, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. But some people have missed the whole point. He's challenging, he's encouraging, he's saying the purpose of everything I teach, the Apostle Paul says, is that we as believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith that makes an impact on the society around and encourages the people inside the church. But some people have missed the point. Now, the Apostle Paul goes on to really encourage people and encourage, and I talked about that in the Heritage Center this morning, and it really grabbed me, the mercy of God. Paul steps back and goes, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, I would be like everybody out there. He goes, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my insolence, I persecuted his people. He was a very evil man. Think about it. The Apostle Paul was a very evil man. And then he says, but God have mercy on me, because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. It's not an excuse, but he had mercy on him. And then he says, how gracious and generous our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. This is a trustworthy statement, he says. This is the statement. Remember it. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came to save me. Jesus came to save you. Jesus came to save all of us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Man, that's good. And he's encouraging that group of people scared, being threatened for their life. What's going to happen? He goes, church, Jesus loves you and has given you his mercy. And then he says, he answers that question that Timothy is wondering, what do I do? What do I do with this church? How do I help them? And he says in chapter 2, verse 1, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. The first thing you do, the main thing that you do is pray. Well, that's what we're doing. We're scared. We're hunkered down. We're praying. What's he saying to pray? I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good, he says, this is good to pray for leaders, for everyone. This is good and pleases our God, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. What are we to pray? God, we pray that Prime Minister Carney would give the right decisions. You would make the right choices. We pray for Premier Rob Canoe, that that he would do the right things for our problems. That's not what I read here. This is good and pleases our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved. Now, we can pray for our leaders and give them daily incredible wisdom. If there's one job I wouldn't want in the world, it would be to be a premier or a prime minister. I wouldn't want it. I need to, and we do pray. But what does he say here? I want everyone to be saved. Pray for their salvation. Pray that they would come to know Jesus. Anyone, and I'm thinking of a particular, I won't mention it, particular person, a leader in this community, that I pray for his salvation. He's got influence, but I'm praying for his salvation. That's what we pray for. So what's that church doing? They're praying for their neighbors and friends, and they're praying for Nero, and they're praying for all these people to come to know Jesus. That's what he's saying. Chapter 2, verse 8. He emphasizes, in every place of worship, I want men and women to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. He emphasizes it. He emphasizes to pray. What's number two? What's the second thing? Go to chapter 4, verse 6. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and good teaching you have followed. Now, what Paul is telling Timothy applies to us. So he's encouraging the church to pray, and we will pray. We will continue to pray. But he's saying you've got to be nourished. What's going to give you strength to go out into the streets? What's going to give you strength, church in Ephesus and church in Rosner, to go to your workplaces, to go to your schools, and to go wherever? Maybe it's tough. What's going to help you? You're going to be nourished by the message of faith and by the good teaching you have followed. You're going to be nourished. Now, being nourished. What's being nourished? Well, I know there's a number of us that daily eat some creatine and some protein, whey protein. Okay? Nourished. Let me suggest something. We're talking nourishment? Here we go. My favorite cereal, Count Chocula. Anybody with me? Tell me you know about Count Chocula. And Boo Berry. Yes. And Frankenberry. I mean, 31 grams of carbs in one cup. 2 grams of fiber. 12 grams of sugar. Protein, 2 grams. I mean, eating with soy milk, almond milk, or whatever. Right? Okay. Well, let's laugh at you. I mean, let's talk about tuning. Did you know there's pumpkin spice? Like, there's not very much left in here. Pumpkin spice Cheerios. How many are into pumpkin spice? It is not very many. You should try this. Okay. So, oh, that's French. Let's do it. 30 grams of carbs.
One teaspoon.
1 gram less. 3 fibers as opposed to 2. Okay. sodium, but no cholesterol in either of them. That's good. Nourishment. No, it's not. I'm not being big on you. Oh, yeah. And I noticed. Whole grain. Whole grain is the first ingredient. You want to know what the first ingredient of this is?
Chicken.
Whole grain corn. I didn't. Help me, Kevin. Is corn a grain?
Even to the end of the age. Where's that
found Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Fear not, for I am with you even to the end of the age. Number two, decide to put church higher in your priority list. I'm just saying, church is not a game. Church is not a pastime. Church is not frivolous. Church is not a hobby. Look at your own heart, your own life, your family's life, and say, and pray. Say, Holy Spirit, where is church in my life, in our family's life, in my personal life? Number three, pray and be in the Word of God. We must pray. We must be in the Word of God. And to help that, number four, I'm saying it, choose to be in a small group. Choose that you will somehow gather. We have our small groups in our church. Maybe you have a couple of small groups, but not just coffee groups. Groups where you will pray, you will be in the Word, and you will encourage. And I'm just saying, if you're not, and again, okay, let's back. You know me. I'm not about guilt. Guilt, I'm not saying this for guilt. No guilt. I'm saying for your own soul. Every one of us needs to be in a group of believers to grow. That's youth group. That's Kids Connect in the morning. That's small groups. That's church. That's anywhere we can gather to grow. We need it. We need it. I need it. You need it. Growing our faith in the real world.